our first episode of Scaling a Design Team. I'm Sagi, and with me is David, my partner in Hacking UI, and we got Billy Kylie here. It's Kylie or?
Yep. No, that's right. You're one of the few that get it right the first time.
Great. No, like mine is way harder to pronounce. I mean, people like Sagi Schreiber, like people don't even know how to say Sagi. So it's like, is it Sagi or is it Seiji or how do you say that? All right. So let's dive deep. Why don't you tell us a bit about what you're doing and working on right now?
So I am from a startup called Envision App. I head the product team there. I started, we've had a lot of growth over the last couple of years. I joined the team, close to about 3 years ago now. I started as the lead designer. I was actually the only designer. We were much smaller team at that point. And as we grew up, I've grown the design team, the product team. We've introduced a layer of product managers and product owners and that sort of thing. And so I'm still very heavily involved on the design team, and then I oversee the product managers as well as our UX research team and kind of everything that builds up the product side.
Okay, cool. So basically you're the VP of product right now.
Yes.
Okay, great. And so how did you even get to Envision? Like, what's your kind of like career path? How did you start? How did you get to being a designer, and how do you get to Envision?
I was always interested in design. I started back in high school. I went to somewhat of a vocational high school where they offered a graphic design program. At that point, I thought I wanted to get into computer animation or something like that. Wasn't quite sure, but I entered that program, and my schedule had a lot of graphic design in it. I think it took up close to a third, probably, of my schedule there. So that really got me into it. Got me into kind of traditional design. From there, I started just messing around with websites and Flash animation and things like that. And then, so that kind of carried over when I went into college, and I started a design studio right out of college. So I met my business partner there. So I came out, I was like 19 or 20 when we started, so I had zero experience both in working professionally as a designer or starting a company or anything. He had a little more experience. He had run a design team in the past. So we did that, and I was there for probably about 5 years, and we mm-hmm. this was back in Canada. We worked with some great national brands, and we grew pretty quick, but we were kind of a one-stop shop type place. We did print design, we did branding, we did video, motion graphics, websites, and everything. And it was kind of around that time that nearing the end of my time there, when the iPhone came out in the App Store and everything, and I think, like most people, they kind of just went to their web design company to start designing their apps, which I'm sure a lot of horrible apps came out as a result of that, because nobody was really specialized. Yeah. But it was a good thing, because that's what I'm sure got people into it. So that got me really excited about product design and actually designing a product rather than just business and branding materials and landing pages and things like that. So I ended up parting ways from the company to just kind of solely focus on the product design side. I had a couple of clients, and I just kind of went and did my own thing for close to another 4 or 5 years, I think, where I was just working on some iPad apps and some web apps and things like that, really focused on product.
All right. And that was back like in Canada?
Yeah. And then so from there, Envision, I actually started using Envision before I started working with them. At that point, too, there wasn't really a role of a product designer. A lot of companies still had their UX team, their visual designers. So I was working with some friends that were UX designers, and I was doing some visual stuff, and they actually introduced me into Envision. And then by chance, Clark, one of the founders, he reached out to me, saw my portfolio online somewhere, and I started doing some contract work for them, and it just kind of, over a few months of that, spun into a full-time.
Basically, you started working on Envision, and you were back in Canada. I know that, you know, Clark, the CEO, and some team members are based in New York, but Envision, as far as I know, is like a remote team. So you worked from Canada back then?
Yeah. I started back in Canada, and we were a pretty small team. I think when I joined, we were definitely under 10, probably around 7 or 8 people. Majority were still kind of in that Eastern time zone, but we were fully distributed. I think Clark and Ben, the founders, had a space at that time that they worked out of still. But we had developers in DC and I think Minnesota or something like that. So it was pretty much a US-based company. Now we've kind of expanded. We're probably about 20 times the size now. So it's been really interesting seeing how the team's expanded into many different time zones and how we're kind of all working around that schedule and everything. At the time, we all kind of kept
to... How many employees are you now?
We're around 170 right now.
170. And used to be way less, like in 1 year ago, right?
Yeah. We when I started, and that was almost 3 years ago, we were about 7, kind of grew to 20. We hit the 40, and then from there, from around the 40, 50, it kind of blew up to 100 fairly quick.
Wow, that's crazy. And how do you see that growth? I mean, how do you even find hires in a remote team, and how do you communicate with the other designers?
I think it's that's one of the benefits of remote working is we are able to, we're not just looking in a market that everybody else is hiring in. We're able to really be picky and find the best of the best for our team, as location's doesn't really come into play, and we're not trying to relocate anybody or anything like that. So that's been working really, really well for us, and I think it's been a positive thing. Communication. We do everything through Slack. We probably adopted that 8 months ago or so, and it's completely changed the way that we communicate, and I think is partly responsible for how well we've been able to scale up so much.
Yeah.
One thing about remote working, I think that works well for us too, is it's because we don't have that central location. There are a few in some cities that have a number of people. I think in San Francisco we have an office that about 12 people work out of. But we don't have that one central office where everybody else working remote is kind of left out of. Everybody's in the same position, and they're working just as hard as everybody else to stay in contact and keep that flowing.
All right, cool. David, go ahead.
So there's no plans for Envision to ever become a company that has a main office or something. It sounds like that's part of your company culture and something that you guys are liking.
Yeah, it's definitely part of our culture. And it'll be interesting if we double, triple in size or anything like that. It'll be interesting to see how it still works. But we've been able to scale very well with it right now. So I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Can you talk about where that idea came from? Is that kind of Clark, the CEO's idea?
It's honestly, it's something that's always, since I started, always been a part of the company and the culture. And I think it just goes down to having the work-life balance as a startup, and especially in the early days, we're putting in just a ton of hours, like I know most startups probably had to do. And shaving the time off the commute, having a flexible vacation schedule, being able to not just work from one city, but be able to move around and still stay on top of everything. It's I think it's just been a very important thing culturally for us.
That sounds amazing. My question is, like, you know, I have my team, my product design team, and I do weeklies with them, I do dailies with them, like every morning at 10 a.m. we all meet in the same room and talk about what everyone is doing. So how do you do that across different time zones? I mean, everybody's like, you know, I don't know, someone's waking up in the middle of the night to talk to you, or how do you do that? Where are your designers located?
Actually, the majority of our product design team, just by chance, they're all in London with me right now too, so that helps. And it's actually kind of nice that we're able to start our day so many hours before the rest of the team. So it's kind of that quiet time where we really get to collaborate and focus on working with each other before everybody else wakes up at around 2-3 p.m. our time out here. Okay. So that's been really nice. The company kind of revolves just as our core hours, and as we communicate with each other around in Eastern time zone in the U.S. So we always make sure that we have that bit of overlap. We try for at least 4 to 5 hours between the West and the East and Europe and the East.
Mm-hmm. And basically, if you say you're all in London, you guys like meet sometimes and work together, like, or do you each stay at his own kind of place?
We definitely try to meet up. It's fairly new that we're all in London right now. A couple of the guys have only been with us for a couple of months, and then I was in Scotland previously, and Andrew, our lead designer, was just outside of London, so he's just moved in as well. So we've definitely been getting together a lot more regular, but London's a huge city too, so we're probably an hour commute from each other a lot of the time. So I think just being in the same place in the same time zone helps too there. But we've definitely right about now, the rest of the team's starting to come online. We still do have that good 4 or 5 hours of overlap, and being connected through Slack and everything, we're always able to jump on the call when anybody needs us.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. And basically, so let's talk about the team. How are you like structured? How many product designers? How many, I don't know, UX designers, marketers, researchers? How does it work in Envision?
That's a great question. Our marketing team is separated from our product design team now. At one point, we were just kind of a design team within the company. So our marketing design team is, I believe, has around 5 designers on it right now. And then they work very tight with the marketing team. And then our product team, our product design, including myself, at this point, we have 4 designers. There's a few that are going to be joining us shortly, so it'll bring the team to about 7 or 8. We also have 3 UX researchers, and then about 8 product managers.
Okay, and like you say, 8 product managers. And how do you work in terms of team? Do you work like, I know we talked about it before in the past a bit, but like tell us a bit like how you work in terms of like agile, Kanban. How do you pair up in teams to get taking care of all the products and features?
Yeah, so we have a team. We have teams separated throughout our app, kind of for each business product focus. I believe there's 7 to 9 teams of various sizes throughout the product, with focuses like prototyping. We have a feature called Boards, which is a team, and then we have more platform-driven teams like our API team, which kind of services the rest of our teams too. So each one of those has a dedicated product manager. Each one also has an engineering lead, as well as a team of maybe a couple front-end developers, a few back-end developers, and just depending on the size of the teams, they might vary from a team of 4 to a team of 12. Each one also has a designer that has a focus on that team, but our product design team also kind of has its own separate team where we do a lot of our collaboration.
Okay, and so you said it says this kind of like separate product team, product design team. Are you guys kind of like a, let's say, would you call like how are you structured as a studio, or more are you structured like a designer paired to PM and this group of working on a specific feature? How teamed up are you inside just the product team?
Yeah, I would say it's a bit of both, and not one process kind of works for every project that we're doing. But I think within our company, just because we are so design driven, a lot of things start with the design team, and a lot of the direction and everything that might come from myself or Clark, we filter it through our design team even before it then comes to, say, a product manager. So a lot of the exploration and the feature development and the direction that we're going to be taking our product gets explored within the product team, with the designers kind of from all these different areas. And it's also because we always need to keep that bigger picture vision, as we're designing these smaller features too. We can't, when things are too separated off into their own feature, you're going to get all these different teams kind of going in their own direction, where we're kind of needing to think of how each of these areas of the product relate to each other as we're going forward. So a lot of that happens on the design team, with storyboarding, thumbnailing, things like that, and we create some rough prototypes. Then there's a bit of back and forth with the product manager. They'll kind of have the expertise in their own area or domain there. And the product designer might work with the product manager
Okay.
a bit, doing some iterations, comes back to the design team, and there's kind of that back and forth there. And then the research gets involved, and product manager and the UX researcher might start validating even the early prototypes, or sometimes even rough storyboards with a few of our customers.
Okay, and I got so many questions out of just that answer right now. I will start with the first. Do you use Envision in Envision and how?
Yes, yeah, we definitely do. In many ways, I would say. I think, and across different teams, they're going to use it in different ways as well. But we use it while we're designing too. If we're in Sketch or Photoshop or whatever the designer is using as their tool, they're constantly saving it into Envision, and it's just a way to get what you're working on into a browser, onto your device, and as you're designing it, as you're moving pixels around, you have your browser tab up, or you have your phone in front of you, and you're actually getting to feel and experience how these different screens are linking together. And I think that's really the purpose of our prototyping tool, and kind of why Envision exists. A lot of the times, features that we're creating for Envision, they evolve to solve our own internal problems too. So another one that we use a lot is our feature called Live Share. And what that kind of is, it's kind of like screen sharing for design files, and prototypes. So way back, this is
Live
probably,
Share is awesome.
yeah, I'm glad you think that. This was probably a couple of years ago. Clark and I were working on a feature, and we were kind of screen sharing things back and forth, and realizing that maybe if I was away from my desk and I was on an 11 or 13 inch MacBook Air, and he was on his big 27 inch monitor, we're seeing things at different scales, and we're not experiencing things at the same time. So then we tried just maybe walking through prototypes together, like, oh, click this at the top, go to page two, and it just takes a lot out of the conversation. So we started working on the idea of this feature, where what if whatever one person's doing it on their screen, you're seeing it on your screen too, and everything's at 100% fidelity, and you're experiencing it as if you're clicking through it, but somebody else is actually touring you through it. And that's kind of where that came from, and it's been an invaluable tool for our design team ever since. So I think that's probably the largest tool that we dog food every day.
How long did that tool take to develop?
We spent quite a while on it. We had a much smaller team at that time too, so we used it internally, I would say, for a good 6 to 7 months, where the development of it, we actually got through that pretty quick in the design, but then we continually iterated onto it just until it felt right. got to use it with some other teams and got some feedback there.
If I can take this direction that really interests me specifically, because I'm the development half of Hacking UI, are your designers doing any coding or development, or what's the, where is the dividing line between design and developers?
Yeah, right now, no. We're not set up in the development environment. A couple of us came from backgrounds where we did do a bit of development. Maybe some of the younger guys hadn't in the past. But no, we're just focusing on design. And then it's we have front-end developers on each of the team that sometimes, depending on the size of the project and whether we need to do some kind of prototyping as we're getting ready for engineering within code like that, then the front-end guys will come in and do some proofs of concepts and work with us. But our product designers aren't set up in any kind of environment there.
Okay. But that means at a very early phase, you have someone coming in and developing things. You're not waiting until design is completely finished and before you're starting to code.
Really depends, I guess, on the project. If it's something, like say, if you've seen the motion tool that we're building right now, there's a timeline attached to that and things. So we can push something into the front-end developer's plate as we've... As soon as a certain direction was validated, it might not be pixel perfect, but it kind of just keeps things moving along. And at the same time, the designer can go in and make tweaks. Same thing goes with some larger projects that maybe we've been working on for 6 to 8 months. By the time that kind of goes through all the validation and goes through testing with some of our users and things like that, at the prototype level. Once it's in development, we might look at it and maybe it's not completely aligned with some of the new visual direction that we're going. So designers will work at the same time with the front-end guys or the back-end guys and update some of the style, or maybe we might even at that point still be refining the UX of things a bit.
In my experience, would get a lot of developers upset if you change anything in the design, because sometimes, you know, that like even working on some kind of interaction on a specific element in the UI, then, you know, the front-end developer can work on it for like just a couple of days of doing that. And then if you change it, if you like, you know, sometimes we designers call it tweaks, but, you know, for the developer, it's like
yeah.
So I don't know, like I once almost got hit by a bat with that. So how do you deal with that?
Yeah, it like honestly, it's nothing that we try to make a habit of, and we try to work as close with the developers as possible. When we're doing things like that, and even at the before we just push something into development, we like getting their feedback, and maybe there's an easier way that we could do something, or maybe there's a way that we could phase it out to get to the end goal, but get to an MVP a bit faster there. So sometimes we're tweaking things because of the input that we got there, or because after talking to them, maybe we're pushing off some of what we did to a second phase so that we need to adapt to that and get somewhere quicker. So we're not just constantly, and maybe our developers will feel differently if you talk to them, but we're not just constantly making changes and throwing away work and stuff like that. Sometimes it's just inevitable that happens. And it's just because, like I was saying, maybe we started working on something 8-9 months ago, and because of the industry that we're in and we're catering to designers, as you can see, just over the past year, process and workflow and tools are rapidly changing in this space. And especially right now, there's been new, like the rise of Sketch, all these new prototyping tools and new ways that people are working, and even just the how important designs come for a lot of companies. So we always need to keep our ear to these different workflows and how designers are working. And sometimes that might halfway through a large project, it might change the direction that we need to go, but we don't want to release something that's geared towards maybe an older way of thinking. So I think it just also has to do with communication and making sure that the team that's working on it really understands why you're making that pivot. And have them understand that it's all for the best, and it might not be like some other companies where then the engineers are going to get their neck strangled for not hitting a certain date. At that point, it's everybody understands that there was maybe a pivot in direction, and that we might be kind of starting again in some certain areas based on the change in experience or some visual things. But we're not just we try to work with everybody as we're doing that. We're not just throwing new designs at them and say, now it needs to look like this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's all about clarity as well. The one thing that I found out is, like, it's very important that everyone is on the team that's working on a feature. It's kind of like an entrepreneur by heart in a way. And that, you know, in order to get that this is a fast moving industry, any industry in this, you know, digital project world is fast moving. And in order to get change, like get the change in the middle of working on something and understand that it's okay, and, you know, letting go of what you've done and going in another direction or something like that, then it takes like a bit of entrepreneurship kind of gut to be okay with that. And some people are not really okay with that. Some people are. I guess it's like a lot about how you kind of educate the team or something. Is it something you're looking for when you're hiring?
I think so. I think it's just part of the culture that we try to set at the company too. We try to educate everybody in kind of design team culture and design thinking. And as we're working on things, there's so much exploration and sometimes being halfway into moving forward with a direction on the design team that gets scrapped and started over again. So for the most part, we don't have these severe business deadlines that we need to push something out if it's not feeling right or if it's not going to be of value to our users. Then we're okay putting it on hold or going back to the drawing board on it.
It sounds like you guys get you know, that there's a real understanding, and you guys get a lot of freedom to not have to hit these deadlines and get freedom to kind of design the way you want to design. Do you think that has to do with the fact that you're a product for designers, and maybe there's more emphasis put on design because of that than at other companies?
I think so. I think it has to do too with my position in the company and me being from the design team, as well as our CEO being very involved in the product design process. So I think we are a design driven company, and a lot of our business decisions are coming from a design minded person or people. Mm-hmm. So I think that definitely has something to do with it. Besides being design driven, we're very more user driven and product driven. What's best for the product? We're not trying to push out pixel perfect designs that you could I'm sure there's things in the app that reflect that, and when I go through it that bug me that we haven't spent hours and hours trying to make this as perfect as it can, but we're more trying to produce the value and the experience for our users and what's going to help grow the product.
Okay. Sounds cool. Sounds fair. And so we're like, I want to go back a bit, like in the process to UX, and I know a lot of companies, not a lot of companies, but that's exactly what I'm trying to figure out. Part of this podcast is learning and how the market works. And I mean, some companies have UX researchers, which are working alongside the PM and the designer, you know, in the same kind of agile team, or in the same kind of team working on a feature. Like, how do you work in terms of, like, do you even hire someone who's coming from a UX only background, or you said you have UX researchers, are they coming from like a really a UX background, or kind of like a more analyst research kind of background?
The team that we have right now, they're definitely coming from more of a UX background. And just I think an important one there is being people. being they're kind of the voice of our users and bringing that into the mix. So we do have them embedded in the different teams that we have set up. So they work alongside with the product manager kind of in that earlier discovery phase, as well as with the designer, and helping us make sure that we are solving the right problems for our users. So they're kind of taking all this feedback that's coming in, plus observing what these teams are doing while they're on calls, and helping group them into different themes that then get discussed with the design team, with the product managers, and things like that.
Okay, and basically they are doing user testing, or like, are you guys doing it, like the product designers, and how does it clash in terms of like, you know, product designer being able to do UX and UI?
I don't think that clashes as far as the concept work and creating the experience. That all happens, that's more on the product designer's shoulders. So as a product designer here, you're kind of that mix of all these different areas. You have a UX background, you have a visual background, interaction, everything like that. That all happens mainly on the design team. Where the UX researchers come in is they're helping to inform some of those decisions. They're not actually designing the user experience, but they're more trying to set the expectations and bring to us what our users are feeling about things. They're also the ones that are then validating concepts that we come up with out of design with our user base. So if they had conversations and some problems came up with some users, and then we try to solve that specific issue on the design team. The user research, and sometimes alongside with the product manager or the product designer on that team, they'll go and get on a call with that team and kind of present our potential solution to it, and then keep that conversation going and bringing it back to the product design team or that specific product team.
Okay, so basically, you know, wireframes and stuff like that are you know, by the product designers, are done by the product designers.
Yes, yeah, everything from and we kind of work loosely with. There's not really a wireframe phase sign off high fidelity that we kind of have that, but depending on the project and the scope, something might start out completely as a storyboard. We kind of we have a thumbnail style that we tend to use for larger project, which is kind of half wireframe, half kind of storyboard, sometimes a mix of some high fidelity items. But sometimes it's kind of a back and forth where some pieces of the project might be higher fidelity, some might be lower fidelity. And it's just kind of all of that part of that iterative process that happens in the product design team.
Cool. Great. So we're going to have to wrap it up soon. So I got to move on to the next subject, which I want to talk about, and that's management. And so like, this is the first episode of this podcast. And for those of you who don't know, you know, I'm trying to also, we're trying to learn about management. So basically, you're the VP product of a very respectful company, and you did scale from being the only designer there. How did you learn how to manage, and what kind of maybe tips you can give to people that just got in this, you know, I'm a first designer and I have to hire kind of, you know, position?
Yeah. I think my whole time here has definitely been a learning process. I've managed teams in the past when I've had my own company and things like that. But I think hiring, it has to be probably one of the most important things, and surrounding yourself with like-minded people. I think mistakes that I've probably made in the past too is, if you are feeling understaffed and you're just in a rush to hire, it's not going to be productive having a team of people that just don't fit. A lot of the times you're spending more time dealing with that or micromanaging and things like that than you would have with a smaller team. So I think that is surrounding yourself with people and taking time during the hiring process is one of the most important things there. But designers in general, they're pretty easy to get along with. I think, at least on our team and in my experience, everybody really thrives on working together and collaborating. There's not really any lone wolves out there. So it makes it really easy. Nobody really has an ego or very strong positions that oppose everybody else. Or if they do, they're for the right reasons and they're just kind of helping things move forward and evolve.
Okay, and so you're talking about hiring as, you know, one of the most important things. So how's your hiring process going? I mean, how do you find talent, especially in a remote team? And you said, like, at the beginning of the call that one of the benefits of, you know, working as a remote team is that you can find talent from all over the world. So how do you find it? Like Dribbble, or where do you get to those people?
It's a mix. We have a lot of applications that come in for both our product management and product design area. There's like thousands come in over a couple of month span there. So definitely a large pool to look through. And we always try to keep things like that open, just to make sure that we're talking to the right people. I think it's important to make time to go through that and expand your team. Even if it's not something that you need at the moment, as we're growing, we know that we are going to need strong designers and just keep that community open. Our process is pretty, we don't hire extremely fast, so we work on projects with them. We bring them into a team atmosphere, sometimes design calls, go through iterations with them and really try to get a feel of how they would work on our team and how a project that they're working on in a real life situation, as if they were working here, is going to progress.
Okay, so basically it sounds good. I mean, it's like a nice methodology for that, like working with the person before hiring them. So when you work with them and, you know, bring them in, like, so you don't have any design tests or anything like that afterwards, right? I mean, that saves you that part.
Well, so that I guess is the design test. A lot of times it's,
yeah,
we'll throw a project at them. Sometimes it's something that we're actually working on at the same time internally. Sometimes it's something maybe that we've thought about before that might be a bit off. And mm-hmm. we'll just work through it kind of through all the stages, find out how they work. We try not to put any restrictions or try, I like keeping some of our first projects like that pretty open-ended, where they could choose the level of fidelity they want to dive into. They could actually make a lot of the product decisions, so we don't give a two-page brief on anything. And sometimes I just come at them with an idea or a concept, and it really lets us see how they're thinking through the problem and how they might approach solving it and how they're going to come back at you, whether it's with a really nice high fidelity mock-up and walkthrough, or if they're going to come at you with wireframes or storyboards and let them walk you through their process.
Okay, cool. And going back to jumping back into, you know, like managing a team. So how do you work in terms of, like, really, do you have dailies, weeklies, how's your structure? Like, what is your structure to keep that product team going?
With the design team, we have one daily setup every day, and that's really a chance for us just to catch up what everybody's working on and get everybody's perspective on the problem and really collaborate on things that might not be in your focus area. But besides that too, we jump on one-on-ones or even group calls kind of throughout the day. I think the point of the daily is just because we are remote and we don't, we're not walking up to each other's desks. We're not always sitting across from each other. It's just kind of that one time of day where it's on our calendar that we're going to be spending an hour, 2 hours sometimes with each other working through whatever we're working on. And I think it's important to do a daily like that. It keeps things from building up and keeps somebody from investing too much in one direction before getting the perspective of everybody else involved. So nobody's really shy of sharing early work. We're really sharing things that maybe we've spent an hour, 2 hours on, and everybody's kind of on the same page there, where it doesn't feel like you need to do this big reveal or presentation or anything like that.
All right, cool. And all right, yeah, so that sounds like, you know, nice way to go. And how do you, like, last question, how do you have time to, like, do you have time to design yourself? How do you keep the, you know, how do you keep that, you know, touch?
How do you keep your skills sharp?
That's a great question. I think it varies from depending what's going on in the company, depending if I'm focusing on a particular month really on hiring, or if we have a lot of big launches coming up, maybe I'll be a little heavier focused on the with the product managers as opposed to the design team. I honestly don't do as much hands-on design as I used to. I think most of my design time ends up in that concept phase where I'm storyboarding out ideas and then passing it to various people on the design team. But I think the flip side of that is, because I've been able to surround myself with designers that I really respect and have all the confidence in, I know that they're gonna take it and do something great with it, and a lot of times be able to apply skills that I just haven't perfected myself in terms of motion and really high fidelity design and things like that. So I think it's just it's really nice having a team that you can rely on like that. I know when I think it was hard as we started to grow. It was very hard to give up some of that creative control, always wanting to do everything yourself and being picky there. But as long as you can surround yourself with the right team, it just becomes very easy to collaborate and work as a team. And you still feel that you have a huge part in the design that's going out, because we're constantly, every day throughout the day, even apart from our dailies, we have a design room set up in Slack. And I think even if I scroll through it right now, I'd say at least every 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, there's something popping in there, whether it's just a little piece of UI, whether it's an animation that somebody put together and pasted in. We're just kind of constantly making design decisions as we're going on and all working together like that.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I feel you on that one. I can relate so much. all right, great. So that about wraps us up, because we got to go. That's it. We have no more time. But before we go, any shout outs, anything you would like to, you know, like to say, or maybe like tease us a bit about the new feature that's coming along really, you know, soon in Envision?
Yeah, I'm really excited for the, I think it's a great time to say this too, just because it's around the corner, but really excited for the new year and what 2016, what we're going to be able to do with Envision. I think because of the size of team that we have now, we're really starting to be able to focus on a lot of the things that we've had in our heads before, and now we're able to actually get them out and turn them into products and expand the product in a way that is gonna help our users really with their workflow from start to finish and get more people involved. And I'm really excited where the role of the designer is going with a lot of companies in general, and it's exciting to be a part of that and help to keep that moving forward with a lot of organizations.
All right, great, cool. exciting times.
And we're looking forward to see what you guys do.
Yeah, we're anxiously looking forward for every new feature. All right. So
thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Billy. So that wraps up first episode. Thank you.